The Bad Christian, or Sermons on the Seven Deadly Sins and the Different Sins Against God and Our Neighbor Which Flow Therefrom, by Father Francis Hernault, translated from the original German edition of Cologne, 1740, by Father J. Allen, Imprimatur, Bishop James D. Ricard. On ingratitude as a vice hateful to God, and yet very common. Priest on the Feast of Easter, can also be priest on the 13th Sunday after Pentecost. Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, bought sweet spices, that coming they might anoint Jesus. St. Mark chapter 16, verse 1. So that no one but these three pious women determined to show the least honors to our dead Lord Jesus Christ and to anoint his sacred body in the sepulchre. And yet, I cannot help thinking, were there not many people in the city of Jerusalem on whom our Lord had conferred great benefits during his life? Did none of them go to the sepulchre? No, they had already forgotten his benefits. In fact, many of them were amongst those who cried out to Pilate, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" But had none of his apostles, whom he had made choice of before all the others, and taught for 3 years, courage or goodwill enough to visit his grave? Not one. They hid themselves for fear of the Jews, and already had begun to doubt of the divinity of Christ. With reason might our Lord have complained on this occasion, as he did when he cured the 10 lepers, and only one of them returned to thank him. There is no one found to return and give glory to God but this stranger. All my friends and acquaintances have abandoned me. There is no one to pay me the least honors but these three women. That very complaint, my dear brethren, was a common one at all times, and in our days too, it is a common enough, namely, that gratitude for benefits received is such a rare thing in the world. St. Thomas More used to say that we write benefits on sand and injuries on marble, so that we never forget the latter, while the former soon disappear from our memory. Today's sermon, my dear brethren, will be directed against ingratitude, not that of which men are guilty towards each other, but that of which most men are guilty towards God. And I say, ingratitude towards God for benefits received is an abominable vice, hateful to God, and yet a very common vice, such is the whole subject. O God of goodness, one benefit we ask of thee, which will, however, ensure our receiving all future graces, and that is, that we may have grateful hearts, so that we may always praise and bless thee for the countless benefits thou hast hitherto bestowed on us. This we ask of thee, through the intercession of Mary and her holy angels guardian. It is not ingratitude for one who has received a benefit to make no return for it, if it is impossible for him to do so, as long as he humbly acknowledges the obligation he is under, and honors, praises, and loves his benefactor. In that way, even a beggar can show gratitude. We see an example of it in the stranger whom our Lord cured of leprosy. He was very poor, and yet he showed the greatest honor to Christ by coming back and prostrating himself before him and publicly thanking him in presence of all the people. Our Lord thought more of this man than if the treasures that Naaman offered to Eliseus had been presented to him, so that ingratitude does not consist in not making a return for benefits received, but in not acknowledging and fulfilling one's duty and obligation. And according to the angelic doctor, St. Thomas, there are 3 kinds of it. The first causes us not to acknowledge our benefactor, or the benefits we have received from Him. The second makes us forget the benefits that have been conferred on us, so that we do not return thanks for them. The third is the worst of all, and it consists in repaying with injuries the benefits received. This vice is so hateful to everyone that Ausonius did not hesitate to say that the earth brings forth no greater monster than an ungrateful man. While it is, so to speak, intolerable to God, nay, St. Bernard says, that there is nothing so displeasing to God as the vice of ingratitude. Nothing is so displeasing to God, especially in the children of grace, as ingratitude. We have another instance of this in the 10 lepers. Were not 10 made clean? Said our Lord with displeasure, when he saw that the stranger was the only one who returned to thank him. And where are the 9? But, O dear Lord, what a question for thee to ask, is if thou didst not know where they were. Art thou not infinite wisdom, whose all-seeing eye penetrates all places more searchingly than the rays of the sun? Art thou not that God before whom the deepest abysses of the earth, as well as the most secret recesses of the hearts, are bare and open, whom nobody can escape, either above the earth or on it, or under it? Dost thou not know well, then, where the 9 are? Why, then, dost thou ask where they are? The reason of his asking that question was, as the glossus says, to show how he disliked and detested ingratitude. For whenever God speaks as if he did not know a certain thing, as is frequently the case in the gospel, and as he will speak to the wicked on the last day, I know you not. His intention is to show the special hatred and anger he has conceived against that thing. Thus he looks on the ungrateful as if they were unknown to him, and he asks where they are. St. Bernard gives us the reason of that hatred. Ingratitude blocks the way against grace, and grace finds no entrance where it is. Imagine, my dear brethren, the state of one who has a passionate affection for another. He desires nothing more than to please the object of his love and to shower benefits of all kinds upon him. But nothing troubles him more than to find that the latter attaches no value to his proffered services, or that and the people interfere to prevent him from bestowing his favors on the object of his love. If the sun in the heavens had reason, it would be greatly angered if its rays were intercepted from falling on the earth. If the spring of water were capable of feeling pain, it would suffer very much if it was stopped up and not allowed to flow freely, because both the sun and the water would then suffer violence against the natural tendency which God has given to the one to shed its light and to the other to render the earth fruitful. Now, there is no created thing which has a stronger natural tendency to bestow itself on others than the living sun of justice, and the perpetual spring of all goods, God Himself, has to shower down His graces and blessings on all, especially His rational creatures. What black cloud can intercept the rays of this beneficent sun? What can stop this spring from flowing? What violence can set bounds to the impotent and compel him to restrain his wishes and desires, so that he may not distribute his benefits as he wills? He is the Lord of all. Who can resist Him? No angel in heaven, no demon in hell, no potentate on earth. Ingratitude alone is able to do this, for its hateful malice violently binds the hands of the good God, so to speak, and keeps them closed, so that they dare not show their generosity and bestow their blessings. Truly, as St. Bernard says, ingratitude is a burning wind which dries up the fount of goodness, the dews of mercy, and the springs of grace. Just as we deserve new favors by acknowledging and returning thanks for those already received, so by ingratitude we close the way to all favors. From this we can see how very displeasing and hateful this vice must be to God, who is by nature infinitely good, merciful, and generous, and how true are the words of St. Bernard, "Nothing is so displeasing to God, especially in the children of grace, as ingratitude." Another circumstance that increases the malice and deformity of ingratitude is the fact that it steals away from God the only good that he expects from his rational creatures, namely, their grateful recognition of his benefits and the honor and love they owe him. In order to show his people how unjust they were to him in this respect, he says publicly to them by his prophet David, "Hear, O my people, and I will speak, O Israel, and I will testify to thee, and will tell thee what thou hast to do. I am God, thy God. Thou must acknowledge me as thy God, from whom thou hast all that thou art. Everything thou possessest is a benefit of mine. All thou desirest and hopest for must come from my generous hand. And therefore, it is only right and just that thou shouldest make me some return. And what canst thou give me for all the gifts and blessings I have lavished on thee? I am not in need of the temples thou buildest in my honor, for the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The whole world belongs to me, and yet it is only a narrow dwelling for me. Do you think, perhaps, that I am satisfied with the holocausts and sacrifices, with the sheep and oxen you offer on my altars? Oh, no, these things are not enough for me. I will not take calves out of thy house, nor he goats out of thy flocks. For all the beasts of the woods are mine, the cattle on the hills and the oxen. They are all gifts which thou hast received from me. If I were in need of any of those things, I should not have to ask thee for it. If I should be hungry, I would not tell thee, 'Shall I eat the flesh of bullocks, or shall I drink the blood of goats?' I know all the fowls of the air, nor have I any need of thy treasures, for with me is the beauty of the field. Turn whither thou wilt, look about thee on all sides, thou canst find nothing with which to make a return to me for the benefits I have conferred on thee, unless what I, as sovereign Lord, already fully possess. There is only one thing which I have left to thy free will, and which I can receive from thee, namely, the gratitude and thankfulness, the honor and love that thou owest me for the countless blessings I have bestowed on thee. This is the only return that I expect. Offer to God the sacrifice of praise, and pay thy vows to the Most High. The sacrifice of praise shall glorify me. That alone will be a sufficient return for all my benefits. And now, Israel, says the Lord elsewhere, what does the Lord thy God require of thee, but that thou fear the Lord thy God, and walk in his ways, and love him, and serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and keep the commandments of the Lord, and that too, that it may be well with thee. Ungrateful man, who either refuse to acknowledge the benefits you have received from God, or forget them, or even return evil for them, see how you take from God by your ingratitude the tribute of honor and praise which is due to him for so many reasons, and which is the only one he expects. And from this, too, you can have a clearer idea of the hideous deformity and injustice of the vice to which you are subject. Inasmuch as you refuse to make to God that return which you could make to Him so easily at any moment, and which depends on your own free will. In the old law, God forbade fish to be offered as a sacrifice to Him. What was the reason of that, my dear brethren? Are there not good fish which have a delicate flavor? There are, says Abulenus, but they cannot be caught without trouble. They live in the depths of the waters where no one can see them. They have their hiding places under the banks of rivers and among reeds in which they can easily conceal themselves so as not to be caught, and therefore God did not wish to have them offered to Him in sacrifice, because He requires no gift from us mortals unless one that is always at the disposal of our free will, so that we can offer it to Him with little trouble. For the same reason, too, He would not accept wild animals in sacrifice, because it takes some trouble to hunt them. All He required was what people had at hand every day, such as oxen, sheep, goats, and other domestic animals. He would accept no birds but doves, because they were tame and easily caught. And now, in the new law, God has abolished all those sacrifices among Christians, because it would be too difficult for the poor to provide them, and He is perfectly satisfied to receive from us, as return for the benefits He has conferred on us, what we can give Him without the least difficulty, namely, our grateful acknowledgement of His goodness. For if the will be forward, says St. Paul to the Corinthians, it is accepted according to that which a man hath, not according to that which he hath not. O God of infinite goodness, how much easier it is to show gratitude to Thee than to the most abject of mortals. How more is required to satisfy a mere mortal for some trifling service he has rendered than to satisfy Thee for the countless benefits Thou bestowest on us at every moment. Let someone who has received a favor from a rich man go and say to him, I thank you, and see whether he will be satisfied with that, if it is in the power of him who has received the favor to make any other return. With what frowns and sighs of ill humor this expression of mere gratitude will be received. Oh, no, in that case, something else is expected. One must not come empty-handed. A thankful heart and words to express one's gratitude are not at all sufficient. Let a rich man say to his lawyer, who has gained an important case for him, or to his doctor, who has cured him from a dangerous illness, Sir, I thank you, and will always be grateful to you for what you have done me. I will never forget you, and during my whole life I shall hold you in special honor and esteem. Oh, the other would answer, that is all very fine. But what is the good of your gratitude or esteem to me? It will not fill my purse, nor help me to support my family. I have used my skill and knowledge and given myself a great deal of trouble for you. I have therefore earned a certain amount of money to which I am justly entitled, and I should be very glad indeed if you paid me. You can then be as grateful to me as you will, and hold me in esteem if that is any satisfaction to you. But Thou, O God of goodness, from whom we have received every good thing we have, Thou art content with that which hardly anyone in the world would consider a sufficient return for an act of kindness. God does not want a reward, says St. Augustine, but honor and gratitude. And not even that little can he get from us, for ingratitude robs him of it. Even inanimate creatures pay their daily tribute of praise and honor to their Creator. The heavens show forth the glory of God, as the prophet David says, and the firmament declareth the work of his hands. The three youths in the fiery furnace invite all creatures to unite with them in singing the praises of God. All ye works of the Lord, bless the Lord. Praise and exalt him above all forever. Sun and moon, shower and dew, fire and heat, ice and snow, nights and days, mountains and hills, seas and rivers. All ye fowls of the air, all ye beasts and cattle, praise and exalt him above all forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, because he is good, because his mercy endureth forever. But how can those creatures praise and thank their God? They have neither reason nor understanding to recognize the benefits of God, nor the tongue to praise and thank him. But the wonderful diversity of their natures, their beauty, their usefulness, their power, and the different effects they produce are all so many tongues with which they cry out to men, "See how God loves you, for your use and benefit, for your wants and pleasures. We are all created." And thus they admonish us, although they are dumb creatures, that we owe a debt of gratitude, honor, and praise to our Creator and Sovereign Benefactor. And shall man, a reasoning being, be the only one who refuses to contribute his share in thanking and praising God? Alas, such is the case. In former times, as Prithtorch writes, there was a common saying to the effect that no one except Parihas ever sacrificed an ox in testimony of his gratitude. The saying arose from the following circumstances. As Parihas was one day walking along the seashore, some pirates happened to land. Amongst the captives they had in their ship, there was an old man who begged Parihas most piteously to ransom him from slavery. Parihas yielded to his prayer, and having paid the pirates the sum they required, brought away the old man, and with him a barrel of pitch, which he insisted on carrying off. When they came into the town, the old man told Parihas that their barrel contained golden pitch, which he gave as a present to his liberator. Parihas opened the barrel and found that in reality it was more than half full of gold. He was so delighted with this discovery that he treated the old man ever after as his father, and even as a god, and actually sacrificed an ox in his honor. From that arose the saying, "Could not the same be said of us, my dear brethren? Is it not true that countless numbers of men are to be found nowadays who are utterly ungrateful to God, and hardly 1 in 10 or 1 in 20 can be found to return him thanks properly for his goodness? For if it is ingratitude not to acknowledge one's benefactor, or the favors received from him, how many there are who are blessed with special gifts of the soul, such as a good understanding and memory, prudence and skill, of the body, such as health and strength and beauty, and who have besides temporal blessings of fortune, such as riches. How many there are of that kind who never think that they owe all they have to God, and never dream of showing him the gratitude they owe him? Riches they look on as the fruit of their own labor, or as an inheritance they receive as a matter of course from their ancestors. Or else they ascribe them to blind chance. The gifts of body and soul they consider only as object of a vain self-complacency. Everything they possess they use like swine feeding in the forest, which wander about all day eating all the acorns they can find, and when they are filled lie down to sleep without once looking up at the beneficent tree that furnished them with such abundance of food. If it is ingratitude to forget the benefits one has received, oh, what bad memories we have in this particular. St. Peter Damian writes of the lynx that it is such a forgetful animal that while it is actually looking around, it forgets what it is doing in its very presence. Such, I imagine, is the state of most men when there is question of remembering the divine benefits. While Pharaoh's butler was still in prison with Joseph, who interpreted his dream, there was no end of his promises to speak to the king for him. But, in spite of all his promises, as soon as he was set at liberty, he forgot all about Joseph, who had to languish in prison for some years longer. But the chief butler, says the sacred scripture, when things prospered with him, forgot his interpreter. As long as we have the gifts of God directly before our eyes, that is, while we are actually receiving them from his hand, then we thank him, if we have so much gratitude left. But hardly have we turned our backs and enjoyed what he has given us, then we completely forget our benefactor. And that is what the Lord complains of by the wise Ecclesiasticus. Till they receive, they kiss the hands of the lender, and in promise, they humble their voice. Hardly have they got what they desired, then they are like the ungrateful people that God complains of. They forget his benefits and his wonders that he has showed them. How many there are who, occupied with temporal cares the whole week, hardly think of God, although they are in need of the benefits of the divine help in the very midst of their work. How many Christians would we find, if we were to examine them, who think of returning thanks to God for the many benefits they have received from him, even once in the day before retiring to rest? Hardly 1 in 10, or 50, or even 100. Finally, it is ingratitude, and the worst kind of it, to return evil for good. Oh, how many there are who act like that thankless bird, of which Androvondus writes. Henry VIII, King of England, had a parrot which was very clever at talking. One day, the bird with its cage fell out of the window into the Thames. When it saw itself in danger of being drowned, it cried out as loud as it could, "A boat! A boat! 20 pounds sterling for a boat!" A waterman who was near heard the cry, and thinking that he had a good chance of making some money, sprang into his boat, saved the parrot from drowning, and brought it to the king, whom he asked for the promised reward. "Certainly," said the king. "But let us first hear the bird say how much it promised." The man was full of joy and kept repeating to himself, "20 pounds sterling, 20 pounds sterling. But the parrot only stared at him and at length cried out, "Give the rascal 100 blows of a stick." Such was its gratitude to the man who had preserved its life. Have we not reason to be angry with such a thankless bird, my dear brethren? And yet it had not reason, and could only repeat what it had heard from others. But we have certainly reason enough to be angry with ourselves. Have not many of us Christians acted far more ungratefully to God since, after having been redeemed from eternal death and preserved so long in life, we are not ashamed to offend and insult such a good God by sins of all kinds, instead of returning him thanks? And how many of us can say that we are free from this abominable ingratitude. Who can say with truth, I have never offended by a single mortal sin, the good God from whom I have received every good that I possess? And would that we always could say with truth, I have offended my God by sin, and have been ungrateful to him. I have returned him evil for good, but I am heartily sorry for it, and will never do it again. St. Thomas asks, which of the two had the greater reason to be thankful to God? He who has never committed mortal sin, and by special grace been enabled to preserve his baptismal innocence, or he who, having committed mortal sin, has received the grace to repent and thus to save his soul from hell? What do you think of the matter, my dear brethren? Is it not a precious grace, that of preserving one's baptismal innocence, so that one has never lost heaven nor made an enemy of God? Certainly, answers the holy doctor, this grace is in itself the more excellent and rare, and is more to be desired than the grace of repentance. Still, since this latter grace is less due to him who has offended God grievously, and since God has less reason for giving such a grace to his enemy, whom he could have once and without further delay hurled into the eternal fires of hell, the converted sinner has more reason to thank God than the innocent man who never deserved hell. Just as a benefactor who, after having been condemned to death, is pardoned by his prince, is certainly under a greater obligation to the latter than one who is publicly declared by him to be innocent. Ah, God of goodness, how few of us there are who really acknowledge that incomprehensible benefit as we ought. Has not our dear Savior, Jesus Christ, far more reason to make of his ungrateful Christians the complaint he made of the 9 lepers, who did not return to thank him after he had cured them? Were not 10 made clean, and where are the 9? Is not absolution given in the Holy Sacrament of Penance to hundreds of thousands of sinners whose immortal souls were infected with a deadly leprosy? And amongst that great number, there are hardly a few who prove their gratitude as they ought for such a benefit. Hardly a few who endeavor to continue in thy grace and friendship by serving thee zealously. Hardly a few who do not return to their former sins and vices. Thy heart overflows with mercy and compassion when thou seest unhappy souls bound in the slavery of the devil. Thou openest their eyes by the light of thy grace. Thou softenest their hearts by sorrow and repentance for their past sins. Thou loosenest the bands of their tongues and sayest to them, go show yourselves to the priests, and make an open confession to them of the bad state of your consciences, and they will cleanse you from the foul leprosy of sin. They did as thou hast commanded, and thou hast admitted them to thy table, and fed them with thy own flesh and blood, and that too more than once. Yet, after all these benefits, there is hardly one who makes a proper return to thee. Where are the 9 whom thou hast made clean? Where are all the sinners whom thou hast so often freed from hell? They are in the same state as before in their former sins. They are as full as ever of pride and vanity, of avarice, usury, and injustice, of abominable impurity, through which they seduce many immortal souls, of hatred and vindictiveness, of gluttony and drunkenness, of swearing, cursing, fault-finding, and blasphemy. Nay, they're worse than before. Such is their gratitude to thee. But thou wilt say, O Lord, let them go on. Their intolerable ingratitude will soon exhaust my patience. Thus saith the Lord God, because thou hast forgotten me and cast me off behind thy body, along with the benefits I conferred on thee, bear thou also thy wickedness, that is, thou shalt bear the punishment of thy wickedness. What punishment is that? We are told by the prophet Osi, I will not add any more to have mercy on the house of Israel, but I will utterly forget them. Hear, ungrateful Christians, for these words are said to you. I will not have mercy any more, but since you thus shamefully forget me, I will allow you to drop out of my memory, and I will abandon you to your unbridled desires. Oh, most terrible of all punishments, which bring with it eternal damnation. My dear brethren, let us not expose ourselves to that fearful threat, that terrible punishment, but without delay atone for whatever faults we have committed through ingratitude. If we have hitherto failed to acknowledge our sovereign benefactor as he deserves, let us henceforth show him our gratitude whenever he sees fit to send us trials and crosses, by bearing them with patience and humility. And let us not forget that it serves us perfectly right to be so tried on account of our past ingratitude to so good a God. If we have hitherto forgotten the divine benefits, let not a day pass in future on which we shall not remember them in order to return due thanks for them. The best time for this is the evening during the examen of conscience, a practice that no Christian ought to omit before retiring to rest. Some say they can remember nothing when they try to think of their sins. If you have committed no sin that you can remember during the day, well and good. But even in that very circumstance, we have reason enough for the greatest gratitude to God. Examine then this and all the other countless benefits that he has bestowed on you, and you will find reason enough to thank him, and also to feel a hearty sorrow for ever having offended such a generous God by deliberate sin. If we have hitherto made a bad return to God for his goodness to us, let us now make atonement by avoiding even the least willful sin, by serving him more zealously, by doing his will more exactly, and by loving him more sincerely. Let no word proceed from our mouths, no work from our hands, no thought form itself in our minds without being directed by supernatural intention to his honor and glory, so that, according to the exhortations of St. Paul, we may offer the sacrifice of praise always to God. O God of goodness, give us the grace to do this, in addition to the countless benefits thou hast already bestowed on us, the value of which we do not properly know, and for which we cannot sufficiently thank thee. Amen.